950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Patrick. You know, I'm not going to talk too much about the debate because what's happened has happened. No one thought Trump won. I mean, what I find to be very interesting is clearly this stuff that I heard in the national news, their international news about, you know, he's trying to broker this deal now between Israel and Sudan. What, you know, hey, cool. You know, they got to, you know, they're not fighting with each other. That's great. I don't know if everyone remembers, but they were going to solve the Palestinian-Israeli problem at the very beginning of his term. That was a piece of cake. They're sending Jared on in. They went to Jared, and Jared goes on in. And have you noticed they when they realized, oh, that's going to be a hard one to fix? Hey, how about some easy layups, you know? Like I said, is it a bad thing that Israel and Sudan are not fighting? Yeah, or no, it's not a bad thing. It's good that they're working together. That's nice. Kind of has the provenance of, like, Belgium and New Zealand. Great. Okay. All right. Good. You know, New Zealanders, enjoy the Belgian chocolates, and Belgium, enjoy Hobbit movies. Enjoy. There you go. Off you go. Bon appetit. Good news for you, Patrick. As I've come on in here, there is a lot of snow that's now finally, we're starting to see the grass again after that big snowstorm earlier this week.
Oh, I've waited so long.
Oh, yes. That was the part that was frustrating me, was that not so much the snow, it's the fact that it's sticking around. And I'm like, okay, I do not want to deal with this. The good news, I was looking ahead at the weather. The storm we're having on Sunday doesn't sound like it's going to have the punch that they initially thought, at least not here for the metro area. They went from 1 to 3 inches down to 1 inch down to now up to 1 inch. So that's a good thing. And we'll have to see if that number changes. It could go back up again, could go lower again. We'll have to see. I will say it's going to get kind of cool here for the next few days. It's going to be, I think the low on Monday night's going to be like 12 degrees. Wow. That's way below normal. But the good news is before Halloween, things should be back up in the 40s, maybe even close to 50. So all the snow should be melted off by then. And we should have a Halloween of some sort. I don't know exactly how you're going to do it. I thought about going to get like a carpet tube and like having that set up and the front of the, at the front of my door, and I could take candy and chuck down the tube and they can just put their bag underneath it. I don't know if that's going to work though. I don't know how many kids are going to come around. What am I talking about? Kids with candy? Of course they're going to come around. I just got to figure out how I'm going to get it to them in a pandemic. 952-946-6205. We'll have tons of time to talk about that next week. Democrat of the day, 53B Woodbury area. Steve Sandell is kind enough to join us today to talk about his campaign as he is looking to head to St. Paul. Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Matt, thanks very much. It's a real pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Why don't we, I don't think we've ever had you on before, so let's definitely hear about who exactly is Steve Sandell.
I was a school teacher for a long while. I taught in the St. Paul Public Schools. I taught a couple of years in Sweden. I came back here, worked for the Minnesota Historical Society and the Education Department, went to the University of Minnesota, and was a director of a program over there called the Humphrey Forum. I moved out to Woodbury from St. Paul about 17 years ago. A friend of mine asked if I'd be interested in teaching in an independent school, and I did for a while, and then I was about to retire when someone else said, do you know of anybody who'd be interested in running for the legislature? And I said, well, the last time around, the Democrats had three great candidates, and how about them? They aren't interested, the fellow said, and how about you? And I thought about it for a while. I thought about the things that I thought were so important when I taught school and when I was working at the university, and I finally said, I think I'll be happy to do it. It's a Republican district, but having another voice with another idea, that's just fine, and win or lose, we'll be able to express some of the opinions that we think are important. And lo and behold, we worked hard and won the race 2 years ago, and I had a couple of years in the legislature, and I'm looking for a couple more.
Well, and I don't want to dismiss, by the way, teaching in Sweden, cool, dude. Nicely done. Yeah. Wow, that sounds like it was fun.
Yes, you know, I just got a $25 donation from a young woman who was in my eighth grade class in 1968. How about that?
Wow. Oh, man, that's fantastic. And also, I love the historical society background as well. I'm a big fan of history. I will say this about, as you described the district, undeniably, and this is by no means a slight, I mean, we have had districts that have been Republican. I live in Hopkins. In the late 1990s, we had a Republican representing us. You know, but these districts are changing, and your victory in 2018, I think, is a signal that you can run great quality DFL candidates in Republican, what have been traditionally Republican districts, especially in the metro suburbs. And the reality is that the people here, the mentality is changing in these suburbs. It's not nearly as red as it used to be. That's for sure.
Well, I think there were a couple things that contributed to our success. One is that Woodbury is growing very quickly, 1,500 to sometimes 2,000 people a year, and a lot of those are young families, and of course they're interested in schools, and they're interested in the legislature getting something done. That was important, and the legislative session from 16 and 17 was not very productive. The other thing was, I think 2 years ago, there were people who were beginning to question the leadership in Washington, D.C., and I think that helped a bit. And as I said, I had a terrific campaign team, and we worked hard, and were able to get a message out that seemed to have support. My opponent was a state chair for a while. She had been assistant majority leader. She was an experienced Republican leader and well respected, I think. But she didn't have a lot to take to the voters, and it was a good time for Democrats. I respect her leadership. Her name was Kelly Fenton, and I think we've done a good job since I've been here.
Well, and also, and by the way, you should talk. We can talk up Woodbury. I've been out there a few times. Fantastic. I love how it's growing out there. Susan Kent, I'd be remiss. Senator Kent would be all over me if I didn't brag about how nice Woodbury is. 53B, we should mention, it's 94. It's basically on the east side of 494. South of 94, and it kind of curves around on that 494 out there. It doesn't go all the way to 494, but it's pretty much the eastern side of Woodbury, correct?
It is. It's the southern half of Woodbury and the eastern half. So it's I have all but that northwest corner of Woodbury belongs to the District 53A, which is represented now by Tu Jiang, and previously was represented by Joanne Ward, who was a great representative.
So you get in there in 2018. The House, I think, has done an exceptional job. I mean, I've been very impressed with the leadership of Speaker Hortman. Talk about your experience here. I mean, obviously, the bonding bill finally got done when it came to push, either fish or cut bait time with the Republicans. But talk about your first 2 years there. How do you feel it went?
I think with most people who are not experienced politicians, the legislature is a brand new experience. It doesn't work exactly like the textbooks. It certainly works with relationships, and it certainly works with the two caucuses, the Republicans and the Democrats. And during the last couple of years, there's been a small caucus called the Republicans. I think there are only four or five people who identify themselves that way. But the Republicans and Democrats come up with good ideas. My concern was that cooperation and compromise was so difficult by the time that it got to the floor. And I don't want to be overly partisan, but by the time issues got to the floor, the Republicans found their corner of the ring, and the Democrats their corner of the ring. I agree with you. I think Melissa Hortman has been an excellent speaker. Brian Winkler is a articulate, smart, and very bright majority leader. And we also have a real collection of people with history in the DFL caucus, and it's been a real pleasure to work with them. Iron Rangers, people from the South, people from the West, and our metro and suburban areas. Suburban, by the way, Matt, we had 75 members of our DFL caucus. I think there were 17 that represented greater Minnesota. I think there were 18 that represented the metro hub. And there were 40 of us in our DFL caucus representing suburban districts. Isn't that amazing?
It really is, but it also just show you that the idea of you want to work with the other side, and that's great. I mean, I will say that it's been hard for the House. They run up against a Republican Senate that has been basically their way or the highway on a lot of things, and it's been very difficult to work with them. But at the same time, you've got a, you know, the Minnesota GOP platform does not have a lot of wiggle room. I say, you know, you look at the Democrats, the DFL party, you've got Ilhan Omar, you've got Colin Peterson. That is some that is some flexibility, and people like that flexibility in a party. And if it's one way or the other way, this is one of the reasons why I think these suburban districts are flipping, is that they don't want just the same thing that might work for Pipestone in Woodbury or in St. Louis Park or in Minnetonka. It's kind of one of those things where we like, the DFL likes to have people and different ideas and different perspectives, and that it makes for a good party.
Well, I think that's really right. One of the fellows who kind of took me under his wing and gave me some advice all the way through the first couple of years was Rob Eklund, who represents a district way up north. He's from International Falls, and I think his district is probably bigger than the state of Connecticut. he's an Iron Ranger, and he has great empathy for the people who have made in the past their living in mining and in the commercial fishing and in the tourist and recreation areas up there. And of course, living in the cities for most of my life and then moving out here in the suburbs, it's a very different experience. But being able to talk to Rob, being able to argue back and forth and to joke back and forth about our differences was really helpful. I promised voters that I would work for cooperation and compromise 2 years ago, and I certainly did. I worked with a lobbying group and with Senator Carla Nelson, who is chair of their education committee in the Senate, and we worked really hard on a bill for innovation in the schools, actually enabling lots of the stuff that's going on now since the schools have changed so dramatically. We didn't pass the bill, but Carla and I had good talks, and at the end of the session, she said, "I hope we can work together again and work together as co-authors." So I thought that was a real success, even though a marginal change.
Representative Steve Sandell joining us, 53B Democrat of the day. So you go back, we want you to get back into St. Paul, 2020 here. What do you want to champion for your district in the next term?
Well, we've got so many people out here, their first reaction to government politics in their daily lives is the same thing. What are we going to do about the effects of the pandemic? So many young families with children at home have been disrupted, and we're looking for a way to get our business back in order and get our health back in order and get our schedules back in order. Leadership's really important. I've supported the governor, and I think Joe Biden has talked about a suggestion that all of us can work together. I think Jen Malcolm in the Department of Public Health has been forthright, direct, and honest with ideas that can help us regain our health. But it takes a lot of responsibility and endurance for some pain and sacrifice and inconvenience, and I don't want to overlook that. So dealing with the health crisis and the effect that it's had on our economy is probably number one in front of us. Number two, I think that we really have to pay attention to the issue of health. As I taught school, the fundamental difference between children who were doing very well in some of the privileged neighborhoods I spoke with and worked with were secure in their health, were secure in their families, and weren't concerned where they were going to sleep at night or what they were going to have for dinner. But there are others who didn't have that kind of support, I believe that we need health care from prenatal months to the days when all of us are going to be all of us are going to need help with our personal lives. So health care is really important to me. I just think that we are stewards of this very fragile planet, and we need to give it our respect and our responsibility to protect it, enhance it when we can, and I've sponsored legislation to do that, and I hope I can continue. And finally, I guess I have to talk about education as well. We spend $9 billion a year. I was stunned when I learned that when I started campaigning. $9 billion a year on pre-K to 12. And we pay for that mostly with regressive taxes, property tax, income tax, sales tax. And my the bill that I authored in 2019 and want to continue working with would move that regressive tax to a much more progressive approach, taxing capital gains a bit and estate tax. And the win-win situation is that would reduce homestead property tax by 20% across the board, and that's terrific. And I think the appeal this time around might be useful, and we might be able to have another approach toward our Minnesota miracle.
Well, and Representative, I've talked about this a lot with the representatives, whether it's people running out in rural Minnesota or in the inner city. The problem, I'm glad you're addressing this, because that's the problem. I mean, suburban schools generally do okay. I mean, they have a referendum comes up, no one really bats an eye. But the same the problem that is affecting rural schools is the same one affecting the inner city schools, which is the funding model is broken. If we don't look at how we fund these schools, you can't expect a farmer whose margins are $23,000 to say, oh, sure, I guess take another $1,000 for, you know, a new school. I mean, you have to look at it from more of a state level and more of an effective spending level that doesn't just always demand school districts to have to go beg the local community for help.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, and you can't know how that lifts my spirits to hear someone to talk that way. It is just we're talking about an equitable society. It's our health and our education, which is so important. And you'd think, well, you know, those are fundamental, and we should be able to come to some sort of agreement and compromise on that. But it has really been difficult. But I appreciate your support and your ideas on that too.
Yeah, and then, like I said, it's one of those rare issues where what's going on in rural Minnesota is the same problem with the inner city schools, which is it's a funding issue. And if we don't address this, none of them are going to get better, and we're only going to make things worse. So 100% on board with you on that one, Representative. I want to drive people, once again, help your local DFLer. Help them out, by all means. But if you're in a relatively safe district, what I want you to do is try to give a little help to Representative Sandell in 53B. How can people get in touch with your campaign, Representative?
Well, we have a website that is Sandell, that's S-A-N-D-E-L-L, MN53B. And our website describes our campaign and describes all the issues that I feel are important, talks a little bit about me, the candidate, and talks about what I hope we can do with our constituents and with people I respect, I represent all over the state.
Well, and people, what are you doing to make the blue wave happen? I mean, what are you doing to make the blue wave happen? You can help out Representative Sandell's campaign. Once again, Sandell, SANDELLMN53B.com. I'll link to everything on social media a little bit later on. Representative Steve Sandell. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us today.
It's been such a pleasure to talk with you and to talk with all your listeners as well. Thanks very much for your time and invitation.
My pleasure. Representative Steve Sandell, 53B, Democrat of the day. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design and Drink in the Style. You may not realize it, but a trained, skilled interior designer cannot just beautify your space, they can functionify it as well. I don't know if that's a word, but it is a thing. So why not check out habitationdesign.com and see if it looks like we're right for you. If it does, give us a call and let's schedule an appointment, in person or virtually, to make your home exceptional. HabitationDesign.com.
Auto Technical helps families in need of transportation with reconditioned vehicles. Here's Richard with Auto Technical.
I'll tell you, my wife told me when we first started, she says, you're going to find this so rewarding. But when people come in and, oh man, give me a second.
Take your time.
And you just find out how important transportation is. People sometimes break down in tears and can't stop.
Learn more at autotechnical.org.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour. We have been on the air on AM 950 for over 5 years, over 200 original shows in the can, including musicians, artists, promoters, authors, comedians, and more. We're on the air Saturdays at 6 p.m. If you'd like to advertise, get a hold of us at am950radio.com. And stay tuned this weekend, Wall of Power Radio Hour.
Hi, this is Laura. Listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Our individual health is connected, connected to the health of each other, and connected to the health of the earth. We know the problems with the dominant food system, climate change, deadening soils, nitrates in the water, factory farming, injustice, concentration of wealth. How do we both as individuals and as a community step up and support a living food system which honors the earth? Tune to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. and remember to support your independent farmers.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. And by the way, I would love to have a Republican of the day. I would. If I've interviewed the Democratic challenger, I'm more than happy to give you time. It's my questions, my show. You want to do that, you're more than welcome. 952-946-6205. By all means, I'll have you on, but you're going to answer my questions. And I'm not going to let you just go on a rant, and I'm not going to let you just, scream talking points. I'm going to ask you specific questions, and you're going to answer them. And if you don't want to do that, well, then you probably don't want to embarrass yourself. That's what I'm going to say. 952-946-6205. Let's get into the Minnesota coronavirus update right now. Minnesota added 1,721 new COVID-19 cases, 13 more deaths in its pandemic totals on Friday. Since the pandemic began in the state in March, 129,863 residents have tested positive and 2,314 have died. Two of the deaths announced Friday were long-term care residents, although most were age 60 or older. Two of the fatalities were in their 50s, and one was between 45 and 49 years old. As COVID-19 continues to spread, public health officials have begun monitoring the annual influenza season as well. Now, just FYI, Patrick, have you gotten a flu shot yet? You did? Okay, he's saying yes. Get your flu shot, people. It's the compounding nature of this. There is seasonal flu, which is not coronavirus. If you do not have your flu shot, you're going to have problems. My whole family, we've got them. Get your flu shot done, we'll get through this together, okay? Flu can be fatal like the coronavirus, typically strikes those in weakened immune systems as well. There are 1,037 flu-related deaths in Minnesota over the past 5 months. Less than half the deaths in the state were seen from COVID-19 in 8 months. So, you're going to have problems with the flu if you don't have this going, being taken care of. With the prospect of two respiratory viruses hitting at the same time, health systems and the state officials will be watching for capacity problems. So since October 15th, intensive care COVID-19 admissions jumped near 30%, 163 patients needing high-level care. Still 28% of the nearly 1,500 ICU beds statewide are still available, according to a state website. We're doing better than a lot of states. There are reports that South Dakota is having to ship people out of their state because they don't have enough hospital beds or ICU beds. So that's a good news there. The good news is we still have ICU beds if we do need them. 952-946-6205. Another story, and I really have to get to this because once again, we have got a narrative that's being pushed by conservatives that the problems that occurred after the death of George Floyd were caused by black people and Latinos and the inner city liberals and Antifa. But the reality is a lot of the problems that we had were caused by right-wing fools that were, most of them white and most of them not from Minneapolis or St. Paul. The latest example of this: in the wake of protests following the May 25th killing of George Floyd, a member of the Boogaloo Boys opened fire on Minneapolis Police 3rd Precinct with an AK-47-style gun, screamed justice for Floyd as he ran away, according to a federal complaint made public on Friday. A sworn affidavit by the FBI underlying the complaint reveals new details about a far-right anti-government group's coordinating role in the violence that rolled through civil arrest over Floyd's death in police custody. Ivan Harrison Hunter, a 26-year-old from Boerne, Texas, is charged with one count of interstate travel to incite a riot for his alleged role in ramping up violence during the protests in Minneapolis on May 27th and 28th. Once again, this was not liberals. This was not Antifa. This was far-right Boogaloo Boys. We have how many of these guys are white, far-right guys from nowhere? This guy's from Texas. Texas, wherever born Texas is. Hey, Texas, get your thugs under control. Don't send your disgusting creatures up to us. You need to police your own state. And to all the Republicans who are out there screaming about liberals, it's rioting, it's chaos, it's arson, the city is going to burn. No, it's not the liberals, and it's not the locals. And it most of the time is not anyone but white guys. White people from the suburbs, white people from outstate Minnesota, white people from Wisconsin, and now white people from other parts of the country. Racist far-right tools that came into our town and attacked it. And as you sit there and try to make political points by arguing, oh, it's those liberals and black people, they need to be reined in. The reality is we were invaded. As Governor Wall said, we were invaded. And those were the people that were causing the problems. Thank God someone is cracking down on these guys. According to charges, Hunter, wearing a skull mask and tactical gear, shot 13 rounds at the South Minneapolis Police Headquarters building while people were inside. He also, and you want to know the truth, is here's the crazy part. Is Minneapolis Police, and I'm going to get to Minneapolis Police here in a sec, is Minneapolis Police even bothered by, oh, he was a far right wing guy? Well, sorry, sir, we got in the way of your bullets. Are you even bothered by this? Because I haven't seen your outrage about another boogaloo boy shooting up your precinct. I hear you guys talking about how you got to keep those Minneapolis people in line. This is not Minneapolis people. It's not black people. It's not liberals. When are you going to get outraged about this? This was a direct attack on you guys, and you guys act like, some of the people in the police department don't necessarily disagree with his political point of view, so I guess no blood, no foul. I don't know what the hell you guys are doing. Seriously, I have no idea. He also looted and helped set the building ablaze, according to the complaint. I told you guys they're going to get all you guys. They got video of all of you. Unrest flared throughout Minneapolis following Floyd's death, which was captured on a bystander's cell phone video, causing Governor Walz to activate the Minnesota National Guard. As police clashed with protesters, Hunter and other members of the Boogaloo Boys discussed in private Facebook messages their plans to travel to Minneapolis and rally at the Cub Foods across from the 3rd Precinct. According to federal court documents, one of the people Hunter coordinated with posting publicly on social media, "Lock and load, boys. Boog flags are in the air and the national network is going off." The complaint states, 2 hours after the police precinct was set on fire, Hunter texted with another Boogaloo member in California, a man named Steve Carrillo. "Go for police buildings," Hunter told Carrillo, according to charging documents. "I did better, LOL," he replied. A few hours later, Carrillo had killed a Federal Protections Service officer in Oakland, California, according to criminal charges filed on him in California. On June 1st, the guy kills a police officer. You know, where's the outrage from Minneapolis police that these people came into our town? Where's the outrage? On June 1st, Hunter asked Carrillo for money, explaining he needed to be in the woods for a bit, and Carrillo sent him $200 via a Cash App. 5 days later, Carrillo shot and killed a sheriff's deputy in Santa Cruz when authorities tried to arrest him. According to charges filed in California, authorities say he stole a car and wrote "Boog" on the hood, which appeared to be in his own blood. A couple of days later, during a police protest in Austin, Texas, police pulled over a truck after seeing three men in tactical gear and carrying guns drive away in it. Hunter, in the front passenger seat, wore 6 loaded banana magazines for an AK-47-style assault rifle on his tactical vest, according to federal authorities. The two other men had AR-15 magazines affixed to their vests. The officers found an AK-47-style rifle and 2 AR-15 rifles in the rear seat of the vehicle, a pistol next to the driver's seat, and another pistol in the center console. Hunter denied he owned any of the weapons found in the vehicle. He did, according to the complaint, volunteer he was the leader of the Boogaloo Boys in South Texas, and that he was present in Minneapolis when the 3rd Precinct was set on fire. Police seized the guns and let Hunter and the others go, though. Hunter then had bragged about his role in Minneapolis riots on Facebook, publicly proclaiming, "I helped the community burn down that police station. I didn't protest peacefully, dude. That was something to change. Start risking felonies for what's good." There should be mention. I want to mention this. Hunter is the 3rd member of the Boogaloo Boys, a loose-knit group of intent on igniting a second American Civil War, to be charged in Minneapolis as a result of the unrest that followed Floyd's death. Michael Robert Solomon and Benjamin Ryan Teeter were also indicted in September with conspiracy to provide material support for a foreign terrorist organization. But what's the narrative that the Republicans like to push? This was all black people and Latinos. It was all the minorities and the liberals. That's who it was. And they're all from Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a pit. It's horrible. That's their argument. And here we have yet, what, the 20th example of charges being filed against someone not from Minneapolis, not from the state of Minnesota in many cases, most of the time white, and most of the time affiliated with these far right-wing militant groups who, by the way, have a lot of members showing up to Republican rallies in outstate Minnesota and across the country. Fact. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this fake narrative that they're trying to use to destroy our city when the people of the city, for the most part, weren't the problem after George Floyd. They were protesting and furious for a reason, but they weren't being violent. From what I've seen, the violence, the vast majority of it came from outstate instigators. Well, and considering the police opened fire on the media twice, the police. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I am going to destroy the term irony for you when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. With the recent round of storms that came through the Twin Cities, some of you may have sustained damage to your roofing, siding, or windows. Call Snap Construction, the company we trust, to see if you sustained damage. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan, how are you able to help people that may have had damage from these storms?
Well, Chad, with experience, we've helped thousands of Minnesotans with their storm damage claims. If you suspect your home has damage or was denied in the past, give us a call for your free inspection. It can take up to a year for hail and wind damage to reveal itself. The insurance process can be complicated. We make it easy. We use the same costing software that all insurance companies rely on. As always, we stand behind our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. Don't wait. Call us for your free estimate or inspection today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
I love the Toyotas I've gotten at Rudy Luther Toyota, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. And I can tell you, it will save you a lot of money over 3 years. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy and your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. By the way, once again, I want to thank everyone who has helped support AM 950 over the last few months with the coronavirus. Thank you very much. Our member page is up on the webpage, am950radio.com. Click, become a member. By all means, we sure do appreciate it. It helps preserve progressive radio in Minneapolis, St. Paul through the election cycle. And we give you some great things, including this week we have, and this week and next week, we have an interview with H.W. Brands, who's got a new book called The Zealot and the Emancipator, a very interesting read that is there. We did part one this week, part two next week. That's for the members only. So if you want to hear that interview, go over to am950radio.com. Become a member. You can do a one-time donation, make it a regular donation. By all means, you're more than welcome to do that. And thank you. Thank you very much, because once again, you're helping keep Progressive Radio on in Minneapolis, St. Paul. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So I am going to, and judging by the way the print looks here, I'm going to give me a quick second. I'm going to pull this up on my phone. I want to read a letter. Now, yesterday we had talked about how the judge in the case against the four police officers accused of murdering George Floyd basically removed the third-degree murder charge, kept the other two murder charges in place against Derek Chauvin, and basically said the case can move forward against all of the rest of the defendants. Governor Walz yesterday, I should mention, put out a note of encouragement, per se. I guess is what he said was, basically he said, he tweeted his support of the judge's ruling on Thursday denying the officer's motions to dismiss the claims against him, which is a good thing. I think we all agree is a good thing. This outraged the police. Now, I'm going to read the letter that the police sent to Tim Walz. And now I want to also, before I do this, remind everyone, the Minneapolis police, the organization that officially tweeted out this letter, the Minneapolis Police and Peace Officers Association, they had endorsed the anti-Semitic Republican candidate on the Iron Range. And it took them around 2 months after her anti-Semitic comments to rescind the endorsement for that Republican. Tim Walz made these comments yesterday in lieu of the judge's ruling in this case. And within a day, they had a letter written and signed by a lot of people. So we see you. I don't know. What was your discussions about the anti-Semitic candidate? Sure, she seems to hate the Jews, but, you know, Republican. I mean, what was your argument on why it took you so long to rescind that endorsement, for goodness sakes? Wow, you got some explaining still to do on that one. But here is the letter. I'm going to read the letter to you, and I'll tell you all the individual organizations that signed it. Dear Governor Walz, the purpose of this letter is to respectfully ask you that those in your administration, as well as yourself, refrain from making statements specific to pending litigation, particularly in those involving police officers, until the facts of the investigation are known and a trial is complete. First, your statements about the officers charged in the criminal case involving George Floyd make it very difficult, if not impossible, for those officers to receive a fair trial through the justice process, which does not serve the public good. The goal should be to ensure a complete and fair trial that examines all evidence. Weighing in from your position has potential to both taint the jury pool and deny justice to those involved. Second, your comments have fueled anger and hostility towards police and public safety officials. You made previous remarks and statements, including those made in person and on social media, such as the one made yesterday on Twitter, are premature, judgmental, inflammatory, and only add to the anger and divisiveness of the already dangerous situation. Wow! We are flogging irony in the back right now. A continued pattern of statements based on opinion and unsubstantiated claims puts people's lives at risk and can fuel additional violence and riots. And those are not peaceful protests. They have already been many, many injuries to people and property, with neighbors and livelihoods destroyed. By the way, you need to go talk to those Boogaloo boys down in Texas, FYI. We will continue to speak up and advocate for the respect and safety of law enforcement. Now, this was signed by, from the Minneapolis Police and Peace Officers Association, Brian Peters, James Mortensen, the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Labor Services, Paul Kuntz, the President of the St. Paul Police Federation, a certain Bob Kroll from Minneapolis, Tim, and I'm sorry, Tim, I'm going to unfortunately destroy this name, Tumuleski, the Hennepin County Sheriff's Deputies Association, Michael Gallagher, President of the Bloomington Police Officers Federation, Mark Olson, President of the Woodbury Police Officers Association, Dan Bose, President of Duluth Police Officers Union, and Matthew Hagen, the State President, Minnesota Fraternal Order of Police. Now, I will mention, as soon as they release this, the Minnesota Republican Party was quick to support the letter. GOP Chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan wrote in a statement, Jennifer Grand Canyon Carnahan wrote in a statement, it's entirely inappropriate for the state's chief executive to publicly give his personal opinion on the proceedings. He has put his thumb on the scales of justice. Numerous other politicians, though, have called for justice for George Floyd, including Vice President Michael Pence, who has said there's no excuse for what happened to George Floyd and justice will be served. Carnahan herself tweeted a similar sentiment when Chauvin was arrested. The process of justice to George Floyd has begun. But she apparently had no problem with those statements, only the one here. All right. So let's get Jennifer Carnahan out of the way. Let's get the idea that the Minneapolis Police Federation, the Minneapolis Police and Peace Officers Association took 2 months to condemn the anti-Semitic candidate they had endorsed on the Iron Range. And point, and we'll kind of skip past the fact that within a day they had this letter ready to go. I'll also, you know, St. Paul, Duluth, Bloomington, Woodbury, guys, I'm sorry you got dragged into this. I understand you guys want to surround the wagons when it comes to police departments, but you're about to get. I'm going to be equal opportunity here, shan't I? You guys are outraged. Once again, outraged about your comments here by Governor Walz, where you scream about a fair trial, scream that you should ensure that that the evidence that we shouldn't try to taint the public until the trial happens, that the mere fact that the Governor Walz, not the 9 minutes of videotape of the four officers murdering George Floyd, that Governor Walz's tweet is what has fueled anger and hostility towards police and public safety officials. And your belligerent attitude towards the fact that we got four of your officers murdering George Floyd on camera. That doesn't matter. But all of a sudden, here there was a tweet sent. Oh, my God. Continued pattern statements based on opinion and substantiated claims puts people's lives at risk and could fuel additional violence and riots. These comments are premature, judgmental, inflammatory, and only add to the anger and divisiveness already of a dangerous situation. That's rich. That's rich, Minneapolis police. Character assassination? You guys put out a master class in character assassination. Whenever you guys murder a black man in this city, all of a sudden he was a gangbanger. He was running drugs. He was a druggie. Oh, his whole family's druggies. Oh, they're all gangbangers. Every one of them gangbangers. They're going to kick in your door. Oh, my God. You guys put out a master's class in character assassination every time you have an African-American murdered in this town. Even with George Floyd and the video evidence of your own officers, let me read from Bob Kroll's own letter that he put out to the police union right after the murder. What is not being told is the violent criminal history of George Floyd. Character assassination. The media will not air this. Oh, the media did air it, you idiot. We talked about that a lot. I've worked with the four defense attorneys and are representing each of the four terminated individuals under criminal investigation. In addition, with our labor attorneys who will fight for their jobs, they were terminated without due process. Please. Not only, it's a double edge. Not only is he character assassinating George Floyd, he's trying to dismiss the murder we all saw with our own eyes of George Floyd. You guys are masters at character assassination. Don't even try to act as if these officers, they deserve some standard that you, as the Minneapolis police, have never offered any of the black people that you have murdered. You have never offered them that. You run to the media, you run to your megaphones, and you go in, you make sure that the family is destroyed and the family is embarrassed, and you destroy their reputation. You don't give them the benefit of a trial. You don't give them the benefit of the evidence. You are on character assassination from day one. Don't you dare go after the governor for pointing out this thing on Twitter until you guys clean up your own store. And it's not just when you guys murder a black man either. Let me go to Sergeant Anna Hedberg. Talk about character assassination. How about the entire city of Minneapolis? At the end of the day, if we live in the city, that means we have to shop where criminals that we arrest also shop, Hedberg says. And if I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to Cub Foods with my two beautiful little girls and run into somebody that I've arrested for sexual assault or shooting somebody or using heroin. That was from the City Pages story. Jason DeRusha pointed out, well, you can run into that person anywhere because there you arrest people from all... Never mind. What's Anna Hedberg doing? A character assassination of all of Minneapolis. Protect and serve my caboose. You guys are masters at... Pointergate! Pointergate! The entire point of Pointergate was Delmonico out there doing a character assassination of Betsy Hodges, the mayor. And when you shopped your story around over and over again and all the media was like, no, you finally landed at KSTP and became a laughingstock. But the whole point of that was character assassination. And at the same time, not only do we have the earlier story where we hear that once again, we have non-Minneapolis people being arrested for the crimes that happened in Minneapolis. White racists being arrested for the troubles that happened. Not the black people, not the Latinos, not the liberals, and not people from Minneapolis, for God's sakes. But it doesn't stop police officers from these metro areas heading on out and giving their big old campaign endorsement to rural politicians, Republican politicians, where they sit there and they say, we need your help. We need to get those black people, I mean, the liberals in the city. We need to get them under control. Look, they're burning, they're looting, they're rioting. Well, no, those are the white racists. You do character assassination constantly. My God, you are the Minneapolis police to the city of Minneapolis is one of the most abusive relationships I've ever seen in my life. You can't stop yourselves from constantly character assassinating the city, character assassinating the victims, character assassinating politicians that don't agree with you. That is who you people are. So for you to write a letter about how upset you are because the four guys who murdered George Floyd on camera, who clearly murdered a guy because we got it on camera, they deserve a fair shake in court. Please, you arrogant jackasses, shut your pie holes. Dear Lord, you know why there's this rift in Minneapolis? Because the minute your officers murdered George Floyd, you sat there and started pointing your finger at everyone else. And instead of saying what you should have said, oh my God, we are so sorry. This is unacceptable. We owe the city of Minneapolis, we owe George Floyd's family an apology. We owe the city of Minneapolis an apology. We need to make immediate changes. Instead, it's you people. And what is going on really is they're realizing they were banking. I think they were banking on the Republicans taking the Senate and the House and then installing some sort of military police type system in the city of Minneapolis so we can round those people up. And now it looks like the Democrats are going to win. Now all of a sudden, you're not giving the four officers we have dead to rights for murdering George Floyd. You're not giving them a fair shake. Let me tell you more about Jamar Clark. The other police officers, and once again, I want to say this for the record. Most police officers are really decent people. They do a very tough job, a voluntary job, that if you don't like, you can leave. It's not the military. You don't want to be a cop in Minneapolis. Bon voyage. Have a nice life. Find some other place to be a cop. You don't want to be a police officer? All my best. Find something else in your life. Be happy. But stop acting like you don't have a choice here. Of course you do. And when four officers murdered a man, you should have said, my God, this was wrong. We should be apologizing. What do we need to do? Instead, it's been pointing fingers, blaming other people, and feigned outrage. The problem in Minneapolis is the police. The problem in Minneapolis is police. And once again, Duluth, Bloomington, Woodbury, St. Paul, we don't hear about your problems. I'm not saying you don't have some. Every place, every workplace environment has them. Did you have a racist Christmas tree that took you 18 months to deal with? Nope. I understand the feeling that you have to back up your brothers in arms, the blue line. But the reality is you're besmirching your own police departments by attaching yourself to a police department that doesn't deserve your clean record, your respectability, what you have earned. Please. Governor Walz, feel free to make comments, because if this was a black man that was killed by police officers, none of this letter would matter to them. They would be out there trying their hardest to destroy that man and their family's lives. Any witnesses as well, destroy their lives too. They do everything in their power to make sure the jury was as much white people, and they didn't know about those guys. Irony is dead. Killed by the Minneapolis police. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Winter is approaching fast, meaning even more time inside. Let Zero Res ensure your home's hygiene for those long months indoors. Zero Res has a 4.9 Google star rating from over 9,300 satisfied customers. Don't trust anyone less experienced than Zero Res. When was the last time you even checked your air ducts? Is your home clean enough to support your health? If not, call Zero Res. Zero Res can clean up the grime, allergens, and dirt in your air ducts and home. Get three rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized starting at just $149 when you call 952-ZERO-RES and mention AM950.
My name is Greg Bakken, and on my show, Ghostbox Radio, every week we'll have conversations about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. This week, we talked to Bishop James Long, a demonologist who has appeared on such TV shows as Ghost Adventures and Portals to Hell. We talk about the terrifying reality of communicating with ghosts and demons. Join me this Sunday at 4 p.m. for Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken on AM 950, even if you're a skeptic.
Wow, that letter, holy God, especially after the letter he put out after George Floyd, especially after Jamar Clark, please, please. Someone reminding us, thank you very much, 18th anniversary on Sunday of the passing of Senator Paul Wellstone when his plane crashed in northern Minnesota. Make sure you take a moment and remember him on Sunday. Taking us out this week, we got the Elvis Costello, we got the Pump It Up there. There we are. Have a good weekend, alrighty? We are going to be back on a Monday. Until then, see ya.